This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What is up, you guys? Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's After Show for Good Trouble. Of course, we're going to be recapping tonight's episode, then moving on to play a fun little game of Have You Been Good or Trouble? And as always, we have a very special guest. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, you guys? Again, welcome back, AfterBuzzers. We are thrilled to be here recapping Season 1, Episode 9, titled Willful Blindness of Good Trouble. We are big Freeform fans here, and we cannot wait. As you can tell, we have a full panel.
Yes.
And today's special guest plays one-third of Freeform's hottest love triangle. Please welcome Mr. Michael Galante. How are you tonight?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me again.
Yes, welcome back.
Yes, I like AfterBuzz TV a lot.
Yes, you said you were here a couple times for Switch to Birth?
Yeah, I was. A couple years ago, I was with Yael Teagle.
Yeah.
And she had me on. It was great. She was like a party. I mean, this is like a party scene, too.
Yeah, right. She brings the party as well.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, the only thing that's missing is like pizza, but I'm sure we could make that work
if we really make that happen. Yeah, exactly.
Next time, man.
Yeah, those cupcakes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll remember.
Yeah, that's right.
To bring
and
the
of
party.
Course.
No, but seriously, thank you for having me.
Yes.
I'd love coming here.
It's a blast. So thank you again. And we're also joined by the unapologetic Shay Jones. How are you tonight?
Hey, guys. Always check out the channel.
And the unapologetic.
I'm apologetic.
The woke and well-informed Taylor Gates.
Thank you so much. Hey, guys. What's
thank
up?
You for joining us as always. And I'm your host, Dakota T. Jones. I kind of want to go over what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to be recapping the episode, playing a fun game. We're going to also be highlighting a woman in mainstream media, tech, and politics who is killing it and deserves major props and recognition. Then we have a lot of questions for Michael about his character, Brian. And of course, we can't leave out predictions. So we're going to be talking all that and more, so make sure you stay tuned for the full after show. But I kind of want to know what you guys thought of tonight's episode.
I had a lot of thoughts and a lot of feelings that played out. If you guys could have saw my face, I promise, it was an event.
Oh, I saw it.
He will tell you, I'm to be watched for this show. I loved it, though. I thought, like, everything is now kind of coming full circle, mm-hmm. in a way, and we're getting more answers, but also a little bit more questions.
Absolutely.
So I'm ready to see how the season's going to play out.
And we'll talk about it a little more in a second, but we learned a lot more about Brian and kind of his motives, which... I mean, don't get mad at me, but for a while there, I was skeptical of your character.
Yeah, all you guys were.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been. But yeah, it was the first time, and it got a lot deeper.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which, I mean, a lot of the relationships did, actually, which is more interesting, and that's why maybe you had such a strong, response.
I'm just new life.
We'll get there.
And what did you think, Taylor?
I loved it. I especially loved Rebecca's storyline. I thought it was great that we kind of started her on a very, very important topic last week, and so I'm glad we kind of got to see that continue and kind of come into fruition in a couple ways. And as always, we have Alice, who I just love so much and just deserves the world,
you know? She does.
And so I love seeing her. And
big fan.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
I love how she's like kind of coming into her own. She's trying to work out like, oh, am I funny on radio? Should I do stand-up? And in real life, she's like a stand-up comedian.
Killing it, yeah.
And she's incredible. If you follow her on social media, she literally just hopping from gig to gig and is super successful right now, so props to her. But yeah, seeing her storyline with her parents and how her parents are not proud of her and kind of demean her.
Yeah.
And they're all there for Sumi, like, oh, she's so amazing, but Sumi ends up not letting them know that she is in fact a lesbian. Otherwise, I think that would taint the view of her because the parents are not obviously okay with that.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting storyline, but I love that Joey seems to, in the episode, have been there for Alice and kind of want to help bring her out of her shell and become more herself. And so I'm just interested to see what happens with that relationship, because it seems like it left off on a rocky note.
It did, but I don't think you can blame Joey in a way, because, like, Alice is obviously still very hung up with this situation.
Right.
And, like, yes, Joey can help her, like, as a friend, but being in a relationship with someone who's clearly still very hung up on their ex, like, you can't ask someone to do that.
I agree, but the only thing I disagree on the fact that
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You still hung up over her ex. Not talking bad or making jokes about your ex does not technically also mean that they're still hung up on them.
Yeah, but
I feel like I think she's working through it, but I can see her reasoning why. I feel like she's trying to make it to the finish line. It's baby steps.
Yeah, for sure. And I think later down the road, like, I think that they will be a great couple. I just think that, like, she needs some more time before she goes full on into, like, an actual serious relationship.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then we get the storyline with Malika, which I thought was an important storyline. Michael, what did you think whenever you first saw that she got the letter from her mother?
Well, first of all, let's talk about... Can we just spin off real quick about... Talk about Zariadel's performance in this episode.
Incredible. Yes.
I am such a huge fan of hers. Just as an actress, I feel like she's just... She really guides the whole show, which she grounds it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of hers. The letter, yeah, I mean, there's so many... you were there responding with me. But, you know, when she had said, you know, I forgive you, when the mother said, it's like...
Yeah.
What? Yeah. What do you mean? It's That's almost like she felt like she was in the right the whole time. And, I mean, I can't imagine some of the responses of the people watching have been like, no, you have it twisted.
Yeah.
You know, she was doing the right thing to protect herself and the brother. So, and you could see that's what I loved about Zuri's performance. It was she was so conflicted and it was so deep and layered. It's like, I want to lash out right now.
Yeah.
But for respect for my brother, for respect for just like my mother, and you were saying something about that, I'm just going to say yes and maybe agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. But then in the end, she was right anyway because she found out that the brother was, it was, oh man.
Because I grew up in foster care. I've literally had almost a similar conversation with my own mother, mm-hmm. my birth mother. But it was more me saying I forgive you because I have to. I have to grow and I have to be at peace with my life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the only way I can do that is if I do forgive you for what you did.
You can move on.
I can move on. Like, it's not even about you. And for the mother to say I forgive you, that is not you taking responsibility for what you did. And to do that to your child, right. I am sorry, that is the worst thing you could possibly say. Because why should you forgive me for being a child and making a decision that saved my own life?
Right.
A decision a child shouldn't even have to make.
Definitely a decision a child should never have to make.
Exactly.
And she definitely, you know, she definitely said I'm sorry because she wanted a relationship with her brother. It's not even about you. It's right. about mm-hmm. me wanting a relationship with my brother.
But they came to
And the
resolve.
Only way I could do that was, you know, forgive. I right. said, I lied.
But then
say,
they
I'm
both
sorry.
Did, and it was like, perfect. It was like, okay, you know, yes. we'll both move on.
Right.
It ended up being a lie anyway.
Yeah.
And that's
so you're like, so I need. So yeah. you're like, I need money, and you... But she has points. You're enabling your mother. You're not helping her by giving her alcohol.
And is she
That's
even
just another
sick?
Addiction. I'm
is
sorry.
Is she even sick, though?
That is a good question, because right. I thought your legs were hurting, baby.
Right.
Now you open a window, and then you now in the door saying,
oh, yes,
Dom, can
up.
You come? Can you come?
Doing cartwheels.
Right?
Yeah, she's hopping up and down, singing and dancing. Like, what's going on?
Kudos you couldn't even... to the writers. I mean, this was a wonderful episode.
Absolutely.
A very real. It was visceral. Watching Malika and her mother speak like that, you could just watch them. It was just so real and genuine. You were like, waiting for that. Someone to react and it got solved, but then it didn't get solved.
Right.
Yeah, because go ahead.
I just want to say, just to bring it into like back into the Fosters a little bit, because I really like how they Mariana wasn't in this episode a whole lot, but I did love the moments she was in, especially with I forget. I think she was with Davia. Yeah.
And Malika.
Yes. And she was saying, like, listen, like, she was talking about her own experience with Anna because she was in a similar situation through that. And she was like, it ended up being a good thing, but you don't have to do anything that you don't feel comfortable with or don't want to do. And I thought that was a really just, like, mature and good way for Mariana to handle it. She wasn't, like, being like, listen, you should definitely do this. Like, you're a terrible daughter if you don't try to, like, resolve this.
Every situation's different.
Exactly. You do whatever you want to do. And you literally have the right to do whatever you want to do.
You gotta do at the end of the day what is best for you and your just oneness in life. Because seriously, that scene, when you, like, you have the mom and you have Malika. So you're, and you're seeing these two just different, different personalities, and one person who is more of a taker. You can just, you can just watch and you can just tell. You're not taking responsibility for your life, but you want to put the blame on somebody else and say, oh, you know, your brother, he stayed, he helped me, he takes care of me.
So he was almost, she was almost using him as a tool.
But that's something you do, especially when you have two kids.
Right.
And one who obviously struggled, and he also was in the foster care system, and all he wants to do is be loved by his mother. But let me tell you something real quick that I know. The mother is the person that takes care of you, that takes you to your shopping trips, picks up school supplies. It is the one that is there. And if you, your mother is not there for you, find you another mother that's out there. Because family is also not just blood. Family is your friends. You can make that your family.
Absolutely.
And it's a big, big thing I hope people realize from this episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Malika finds Jamal's mother. And I love whenever she said, well, you have me now, and like grabs her hand.
Yeah.
Loved that moment.
Yeah, I thought that was really beautiful. And I like that they are not just having Sandra be, like, almost like a stock character, because, you know, you can just have them be sort of an extra and, like, driving the plot along, but, like, I love that she's becoming such an integral part of the plot and forming this real relationship with Malika that I think they both really need.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another important storyline was obviously Rebecca's. And I know that last week it left off on a note where Rebecca was not going to come forward. She was too scared of what it would do to her grandpa's reputation and her family and, like, not being able to get a job. And she doesn't feel like anyone will even believe her anyway, because a lot of victims, sadly, are not believed. Which,
especially when they're women.
Exactly, which was heartbreaking. But Callie kind of oversteps her bounds, which she tends to do a lot. She tells Judge Wilson, about the inappropriate, you know, behavior that Handelman had. And in the end, Rebecca is like, you know what? This is something I do need to speak on, because her own mother wasn't even sympathetic.
First of all, also played by the amazing
Joanna
Johnson, executive producer of not only The Fosters but Good Trouble, and she martini.
She
played
that perfectly with the collar up, like the just sitting there. She was genius. It was amazing.
It was so perfect.
Great job, Joanna.
She really did an incredible job. It was interesting that she played a character who everyone will not like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
she didn't mind.
She killed the performance with that martini, and then also the main thing that she said that I know is gonna really, you know, everyone's gonna hate, is when she's like, oh, this whole Me Too movement is too much for me. I don't think it's, you know, she just totally dismissed it and was like, you're just lucky that you have people in your family to help carry it for you so you don't have to do it yourself. Like your grandfather, who's a man, had to do it, you know?
No, my quote was, men will always be men. And let me, because you guys are totally, like, not against you. But that is something we always say, and it needs to change. Because just because you're a man does not mean you should not be held accountable. That is the big difference. Mm-hmm. Be a man, but be held accountable for the actions that you put upon somebody else.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The gray area has to go away.
It
definitely
does.
There's no more PC. Yeah, I'm sorry. There is no more.
Sexual harassment is sexual harassment. There's no, like, oh, I was being friendly. And they had that storyline with Raj, which was great a couple of episodes ago. And he came out and came out strong and stood up for Mariana, which I loved. I love Drew as a person.
He's awesome.
I've always been rooting for him because he actually is a sweet, sweet guy. So it's like, don't make Drew the bad guy. And he's starting to come around. It's wonderful what they're doing with the storyline.
He was another character like Brian.
It's like, you don't like him, you don't want him, you're kind of rooting against him,
right?
But now you kind of love him,
especially when we saw him go and he was gonna, like, tattletale. We thought he was gonna tell him Mariana,
right?
And that was such a moment where I was like, I'm done with him.
I didn't say that, however, I was just like, you better not do what I think you're about to do,
because we had just interviewed him the week before and we were like, okay, maybe maybe he's cool. Maybe,
like, maybe we're Team Raj. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
And then that happened, and we're like, oh, no. And then we're like, okay, we're still cool with Drew.
The writers really mess with the audience, huh?
They really do.
But it's a good way. It's like a gentle mess with. It's not like they're trying to really mess with your mind. Yeah. They just keep it interesting. It's really good.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's really good.
Absolutely incredible. In the end, Rebecca does file a complaint, and she tells Wilson what happened. And she ends up not taking that one job that was more, I guess, prestigious in the eyes of her family.
The one in D.C., yeah.
She picked the other one. Was more of, like, I think, her passion and what she wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Where's my spinoff? Yeah. That's my question. I want to see Rebecca in Denver just, like, killing at her, you know?
Yeah.
This little law firm. I love all the law scenes. So, like, give me more of that, you know?
I love she just shut down Ben real quick. She's like, oh, yeah, I was trying to be nice to you. But, oh, yeah, I do also have an offer from... blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Now we can be quiet, and you can go back in your little corner bin. You're good.
She saved that, like, ammunition for the end. Be like, by the way.
Yeah. But the letter that she wrote Callie was so beautiful, and I loved that, you know, she was reading it as, you know, like, you could hear her reading it. But it did seem very final. Like...
Yeah. And it... Like, is it? Like, is she not coming back for real?
I thought she had, like... 11 episodes in her. I don't know. We'll find out, I guess.
I really want her back because I think too. Molly's an incredible actress. I got to see a few of her shows at Rockwell mm-hmm. before she was even on... I don't even know if she'd been on a TV show
She did
10
Things I Hate About You when it was a TV show. Okay. She's done a whole bunch of stuff. And she has a movie on Lifetime called Fatherly Obsession.
And now she's on...
Ooh, when I say ooh.
Just the name itself. I'm like, I'm here for this. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Because she actually plays a comedian.
Oh.
Like, it's lit.
That's amazing. But yeah, there's. I feel like there's so much more that they could explore between Rebecca and Callie specifically.
Yeah.
And I love the little trio with Callie, Ben, and Rebecca. Like, it's very, like, competitive, but also, like, sort of, like, teasing at the same time. And I'm going to really miss that if she's actually gone.
I know. And I think that, obviously, Raj has kind of redeemed himself in our eyes. And we're getting ready to talk about how Brian kind of redeemed himself in our eyes. I'm really hoping Ben comes around because he's just been nothing but a bad apple for a long time.
This is the only way I can think that happens. Because now that Rebecca is gone, that actually is a spot open for Kate now that Handyman might be under investigation.
Ooh.
And Ben is a little bit feeling Kate too now. So, you know, that at least possibilities
Ooh.
For
They were in the elevator and he's like, I hope to see you soon. Or something like, I'll see you soon. I hope so. Or something like that.
Shout out to, she is amazing. You'll see her in Descendants 3. She plays Mulan's daughter. I'm here for it.
That's awesome.
And she's on Guidance on Hulu. It was Awesomeness TV. Third season with Monique Coleman, who's also a Disney alum. So come on.
Cool.
High School Musical, man.
She's playing the twin.
That's incredible. That's awesome. Well, let's get into Brian's storyline.
Yes.
So, Michael.
Are people happy about it yet? Are they finally coming around?
I'm going to say, as of today, at least me, I know that I'm more for you guys rather than Callie and Gael, just because Callie has always... I love Callie. I think she's my, like, her and... She's, like, my favorite character, to be honest.
She's amazing. She's incredible. She's amazing.
I love her, and I think she's an incredible actress, and I always love seeing her storylines. But she has a tendency to just be the most selfish person. You know, she cares about a lot of people. She tries to help people. But at the end of the day, it seems like she makes a lot of mistakes, and it's always about her. And I get how, you know, she, you know, growing up in the foster care system, she really had to, like, make sure to take care of herself.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think she's balancing, like, okay, well, now I need to help others as well, which she's always done. But it's a balance, and she's never quite figured that out.
Right.
And so I think... with her relationship with Gael, it's always been more of a selfish thing. She's always kind of blaming it on him, like, oh, well, you know, I need to focus more and this and that. And she's wanting to help Jasmine, Gael's sister, which is great. But at the end of the day, what do you want from Gael?
Right.
You're not being straightforward. He's made it very clear he has feelings for you, and you're not quite meeting him where... like anywhere in the middle.
Oh, she was almost provoking him. It's like you're not you don't really want to be an artist. It was like, you know, really provoking
it's
him,
awful.
Picking at him,
it's,
and then
yeah.
he went back at her. I thought that was really interesting.
I know,
because I think in that conversation he had a point. I mean, she'll make a great lawyer, but I also feel like her heart's not in it too. At the same time, when your heart's not in something.
I don't feel that though. I feel like her heart is totally in it.
No, I think she truly does want to be a successful lawyer. I think so. But she gets distracted easily by these dudes. I mean, listen, they're all good looking. Bo Murshaw, I love Jamie. I mean, Tommy Martinez. I mean, they're hot guys.
Yeah.
I'm a straight guy. I have no problem. You know, they're really attractive.
They are.
I get it why you're distracted, but what are you trying to be a real, you know, successful lawyer? Because you do have to focus on that. But she does keep messing that up. Yeah, we're not going to see each other. Yeah, really? You're in up in his loft every other night,
right,
dropping off papers. That was funny.
Just
dropping this off. And then Brian walks in watching that. That was funny.
That was great.
Well, she tried to – I mean, I respect the try, the attempt. Yeah, you know, it was there. Sure. Shout out to people in the chat. Jassy Jones says, Brian was good in this episode. And Aronum Pukote, hopefully I got it right, Brian rocked this episode. He really blew me away with his advice to Gael and showing his true care.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. He actually does care about him. Because like Brian maybe could have just been using him too as like, you know, you're the hot guy I just want to say that I hook up with.
Right.
But I think now it's like when he said, I care about your career and I actually want to help you, that's action.
Absolutely.
That's not words and it's not superficial and shallow. It was the first time really Brian had really, you know.
I feel like it started off that way for Brian at least. Like it was, oh, it's just about sex and, oh, yeah, this guy, I'm with this hot guy. But then when, you know, Callie came in kind of throwing a wrench. And obviously I feel like when you do become intimate with somebody, you care about them. Mm-hmm. But it's actually when you're fighting for them too, it becomes a whole different type of thing.
Different game.
And a deeper.
Well, in episode 6, he says, I don't really want to share with anyone anymore. Mm-hmm. He did say that. And he was down. I mean, Brian was probably hooking up with other people too. And, right, and cool then. That's, he's always been doing that. And that's been his, you know, his thing. But now it's like, I've got this one guy who could be special, who could be maybe forever. Let's see where that goes.
And Callie is, she's always been like, you know, before she kind of was like, well, do you even really want to be an artist? Do you care about your art? She was like, oh, yeah, like, you should do your art, like, you know, but she never really took action. And we see Brian, literally, they're giving him career advice. And I get that Gael was skeptical about how he wanted to portray himself on social media and how he didn't necessarily want to just use his body. But the way that your characters came together to kind of create this, you know, he still looks super attractive and he's got, like, the art on him, which goes into the background.
Yeah,
but it's
cool.
More of, like, I guess more... more conservative than what Gael was comfortable putting out.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, you really did above and beyond and took major action to really be there to help him, to plan everything out, to take the photos. And I think that that's just showing way more than what Callie is showing for him right now.
Well, I do like also the fact that Brian's like sort of helping like introduce him to like the queer community too. I think that's really important.
Well, he brings it up. It's really like cool, you should be a good representation of, you know, you should represent. If you're gonna say you're gay, well, he's bisexual, but you should reach out. You could be a role model,
yeah,
or, you know, an inspiration. We need that. So yeah, I like that as well.
I like that. Although I think that we're being maybe a little hard on Callie at this table.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like I think that Callie just shows that she cares in different ways than other people.
I mean.
Like, and I get what, I totally get what you're all saying, and I'm not saying that, like, I ship one more than the other, because I feel like I fluctuate and go back and forth a lot, but, like, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, Gael and Callie were hurt a little bit, too, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that they just are both very strong people, like, throwing it back and forth in a way.
I will agree with you, and I'll amend my statement. I think... Not that because Callie doesn't want to be a lawyer, I think she's also missing the fact that she did love wanting to be an artist and she kind of gave it up. So it's also like a lost dream.
That's
but
true.
I'm seeing you follow yours and that also makes her a little hurt too probably. So I'll say that. But she needs to figure out her life at the end of the day.
They all do though, let's be real.
No, they all do.
100%. But
I feel like Callie
don't just dangle Gael or dangle Jamie because you're lonely or you just want company at that time. I think this is the thing for me for Callie. I think... She hasn't truly filled the love she needs for herself.
Mm.
I really just believe that. If you love yourself, love comes to you, regardless. You don't need to dangle or have two guys on the side just because, oh, I'm now lonely and I just want the company.
Mm-hmm.
Your company is yourself and you're happy in that time. Alone time is good. So I will just amend my statement and say that.
I like that. I really do. I feel like Callie is always... I feel like she always is with somebody and she's not usually alone.
Not during law school.
Okay.
5 years she's alone.
Okay,
I'm just
that's
saying.
True.
I need,
okay.
There's someone needs to be someone no, Team Callie at the same I appreciate so I'm gonna that. Just take
I am not,
on that
not
role.
Team Callie. I'm just
I appreciate
throwing
that.
In things. Okay.
Yeah. I think there just needs to be a distinction for her for Callie. Is it passion? Or is it love?
Yeah.
Because there's very passionate girl, and is passionate, and so is Gael. There's passion. But is it like, does it go beyond you're amazing in bed? Does it go to, wow, I love you? Like, that has not been discussed yet.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of what everyone, I think, is waiting for.
Good point.
Absolutely.
Good point.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway. And then it's so, crazy to watch your character look in on them as they're fighting.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
It's brutal.
It's brutal. I feel bad for Brian. Because he's too. Always got... He almost can't compete with Callie. She lives there. She's gorgeous. Listen, Callie is super attractive and super amazing and super talented. So, like, why wouldn't you, you know, want to be with a girl like that? And that's where I feel bad for Brian, because he's always, like, catching up. He's like, I can compete. And he can, to a point.
Yeah.
But it's like, she's, like, perfect, you know?
I feel like
Brian's like a 7.
No! Like a 10. They're neck and neck. Wait, stop playing with your life. We see you half naked. You're good.
I'm kidding. But it's the first time. This is the first time he's ever had to compete. And with now a girl, he's not used to that.
Right.
So he's trying to navigate that too. And that's the other good story that I think that is being portrayed that I really enjoy. It's like you're dealing with a gay character who has to now compete with a straight girl. That's different.
That's
different. not always the case.
Who lives in the building with
right
your man.
Yeah, so it's like, how do I beat this straight girl? Usually it's like, how do I beat the other hot gay guy?
Yeah,
so I gotta beat this hot straight girl. How do I do that?
Territory.
Yeah, and I'm glad that the writers and the whole show is shedding a light on that.
Absolutely. Very well said. Absolutely. And obviously Callie it's her first time navigating being interested in someone who's bi.
Exactly.
She doesn't know, how am I supposed to compete with a gay guy?
Like, yeah, she goes the same way.
It's the same way.
But I gotta say, I do feel worse for Brian. I'm sorry. I love Callie, and you guys know this, but I'm not bashing on her this week. But it's just like, I don't know. Sometimes she does things where I'm like, girl, come on. Like, she really just needs to. I don't know. I'm not a fan of her and Jamie, though. I'm not a fan of her and Jamie at all.
I mean, I was here for the bathroom scene. So.
Bathroom scene was nice.
I know they're not related, but like. They're related enough that it kind of is a vibe
by marriage. We're good. There is no blood related.
It's technically good, but I'm just like, get outside the family.
She likes to stay where it's gray.
She does.
She likes the pretty boys. What are you going to do?
It's fine.
We like the pretty boys.
Right.
Ethically, legally, it's fine, but I'm just like, okay.
They're both lawyers. They should know if it's legally okay.
It's totally fine. It's a little strange to me.
It's a little strange, yeah. But he really went for Callie, though, when he was like, oh, well, you know, you got your Latino, like, lover fix. Now you're going to go with All-American Boy. I was like, oh,
yeah. He went there, right?
He went there. Yeah. He really did.
It's good.
But that kind of wraps up the episode recap, which I thought this week was probably my favorite episode just because there was so much that went on that really kind of went in depth with the relationships and what's going to happen. And it just really kind of shook everything to the core. You know, a previous week, I don't know if I remember if it was last week or the week before, it was just like a lot of sex, right?
It was all hooking up.
Yeah. I loved the threesome, right?
Which was a fun episode. Yeah, okay. But I feel like we really got into the core of it and like what's going on besides just the sex, which I appreciated. So I thought that was awesome.
Oh, we didn't talk about Mira and Alice's fight. The only reason I want to touch on that is because it was hilarious. Because you could tell me I'm insensitive. To talk about a woman I've known longer than you have, that she cheated on me with you, and now I'm planning her wedding. Baby, who do you think you're talking to today?
That whole situation is so ugly for Alice. I feel really so bad for her. You feel bad for Brian? I feel bad for Alice, like, times 30. Every episode, it's like, oh, the poor thing.
Yeah.
All I want is for her to be happy, and she really deserves everything, because she's always giving, always caring for everyone else. She's the one who deserves everything.
Absolutely.
And doesn't get it. It's not cool.
Yeah. After that toilet paper episode where she was like, that broke my heart. I was like, girl.
Yeah.
Like,
she couldn't even get it out. Like, she whispered it. Like, that's what was super funny. Everybody was just like, okay, cool. Yeah.
She needs to win the lottery. Something has to happen to her that's, like, literally a miracle.
Exactly. Because we see in the preview from next week, her Uber was stolen. Like, homegirl cannot catch a break.
I thought it was like a bridal scavenger hunt type thing or something like that. Like, maybe it's Sumi's bridal shower because everybody's wearing pants. So I'm really confused now. And somehow it ended up being Brandon. So I'm still like, dude, what you Ubering for?
You are observant.
I try.
That's all I'm going to say. No, that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying you noticed the pins, but that's all I'm going
to say. That's true. Okay.
I got excuse.
Well, before we move on to the next segment, Taylor is here to tell us a lot about the awesome things that are happening at AfterBuzz.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to say thank you guys for making us be the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. We love hearing guys' thoughts. Like I said, I wake up Wednesday morning, immediately check YouTube. I'm like, what did they say about last night? Being a part of the AfterBuzz, being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. So don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows.
Yes, thank you guys so much for that. Let's jump into our next segment. This girl is dope. Taylor is going to highlight a woman who deserves major props. Take it away.
So Sheryl Sandberg is one of the most powerful woman in tech. She's the COO of Facebook. So she makes things happen. She is fourth on Forbes' World's Most Powerful Women list, which is crazy.
Wow. That's incredible.
A lot of power. She was the first female on the board of Facebook in 2012 after leaving Google in 2007. So lots of major tech companies there. She also uses her position of power to promote initiatives to address the gender gap in tech, which is huge. Like, it's just such a disparity between the amount of men and women working in the tech fields, and so she's trying to change that. And she's also on the board of Women for Women International, so she's very much about female empowerment, which is awesome. So, yes, Sheryl, amazing. Get it.
Can you imagine me in coffee and be like, oh, what did you do today? I left Google and became the CEO of Facebook.
Oh, that's
today.
All?
What did you do?
Yeah, I'd be like, well, I walked my dog. I went to get some pizza.
I took a nap.
My sheets.
Did some laundry. My refrigerator's now clean.
I caught up on Game of Thrones.
Ran into my ex. It was awkward.
Right.
You know, like normal people stuff, and she's over here killing it. I'm very happy. That's incredible and so empowering and so
encouraging. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And of course, you guys, we have not forgotten our game that we play every week. Have you been good or trouble? We use these paddles for those of you who are listening on the audio on iTunes. We use these paddles. We talk about a situation. If it's good or trouble, we vote as a panel and see who is for what. So, Shay, take it away.
Hey, guys. So the question for this week is, Dom enabling his mother from taking real responsibility is going to be good or trouble for him as a person?
For Dom personally.
Yes, for him personally.
So Malika's brother, do we think it's going to be good or trouble that he is so involved with his mother? 1, 2, 3.
All right. Unanimous.
Unanimous. I'm impressed. It's the first time as a panel we've all voted as the same thing for once. Yeah.
I feel like we're doing it. Nope. That time it was like a fluke, though.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, I think it's very obvious that the mother is using Dom.
Yeah.
And that she... I don't even know if she's sick. I guess we'll find that out. But he is supplying alcohol
for her. I mean, technically
she
is sick, but the sickness is the disease of the addiction.
Right.
She left one... The thing about addiction is it's real easy to get into another one. It's super easy, and the line in the sand is very, 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 very thin.
Right.
I will say, to put a little bit more of a positive spin on it, I think it's going to take some more pain and heartache to learn it, but I think he is going to eventually realize what his mother's doing, and I think that he might admit that he was wrong to Malika, and maybe they will have a stronger relationship after that. So while I think it's going to be a lot of trouble in like the short term, I think long term he's going to learn, and I think that might bring him closer to his sister, because I think that Malika, as you know, frustrated as she gets, will always, you know, be there for him and take him back, you know, with open arms.
He's doing a great job. He's doing a great job on the show. As an actor, he's doing great. That whole storyline is just so compelling. I'm such a huge fan. It's
really crazy, because I always say that about every storyline. I'm like, wow, this is so important. This needs to be heard. Wow, this is so important. This
it
needs
keeps,
to be heard.
Right? It doesn't stop. It's great.
There's not a show out there that does what Good Trouble or The Fosters has done.
Consistently.
It's true. Yeah.
Consistently.
And it's cool because there are these parallels and similarities between, like, Callie's situation, you know, with her father who, you know, accidentally killed their mother
when
he
was
drunk.
It's great.
And then, yes, and, like, Mariana and Jesus' mother. But it's like... such a different perspective and a different spin, and so they're telling all these stories and not just being like, oh, we're writing in the story to, you know, be woke or like be
it's
know,
never
relevant.
It's never forced.
Exactly.
They always make it like genuine and organic. It's wonderful.
Absolutely.
And what I love is the fact that they always do the scene where it's what we want to say. But then we obviously get to see what we actually
cut
do
back.
Say.
Isn't it great? The inner monologue, it's like the inner monologue comes out. It's great.
Yeah. Because we have those.
Yeah, we do. And my favorite one has been when they were all sitting around at Judge Wilson's house, And Judge Wilson's wife's like, oh, what do you do, Callie, in your free time? She's like, oh, well, I hook up with a guy in my building. And I was like, what? Like,
so funny.
I love those. Those are so great. But they really do trick us. And we never quite know if something's real or
keeps
not.
Keeps it fun.
Until a couple minutes passes by and we're like, okay, well, they didn't redo that scene. So it must be real. You know,
but if that was real, I really wanted to like be to Alice's mom. How was that the dad's fault? What'd you do, sir?
Like, this is all your fault. Whenever
she said it twice, like in Mandarin. This is all your fault. This is all your fault. I'm just like, sir, what did you do? Did you not?
Yeah, we didn't talk about that scene. That was a funny scene. It was also a very real scene, and yes. Also a very triggering scene, because imagine having to go through that as a gay person and having your parents literally look. Not just look down upon you, but joke about it and not be proud of you. That's got to be like.
And then not like the fact that you joked about your brother having a shower. What is he like?
Right. It's just, you know, I got my own thoughts about it. It's heartbreaking. Yeah. I can't imagine going through that. And my heart goes out to people who ever had to deal with that in their life ever because of something they can't control.
Yeah.
That's absolutely not fair.
Because coming out is hard, especially, and also, I just feel not just based on where we, like, what city we're in, but also what our family dynamics are.
Because religion, everything.
And just, what your race is, especially because she just wants a good Chinese son-in-law. That's all she wants. That's what she's groomed her daughter to believe. But, you know, obviously that's not the persuasion she goes for.
And so, it's almost like she's keeping up the facade to, like, keep that relationship with her family, but at the end of the day,
it's gonna
is
break
that
her.
Worth it? Because it seems like the family is not that involved in her life anyway.
But I think for her, at the end of the day, it still is family. And I mean, I think that was the biggest thing of this episode was family. Like, whether we make it or it's our own, sometimes we live with it because that's all we know, and we haven't figured out how to venture away from it.
I have some friends who are gay who, after they came out to their parents, their mom or dad, one of the two parents stopped talking to them for years.
That's insane.
Isn't it the saddest, most hurtful thing you've ever heard? For what reason? Something they can't control. This is who they are, and you're getting mad at someone for who they are. It's the most heartbreaking thing.
Bizarre.
In I've ever experienced. Hearing that.
Yeah.
It's not right. That's like me being mad at you because you have brown hair.
Yeah.
And me never talking because you have brown hair.
And it doesn't change.
Are you kidding me? You're born with brown hair.
How dare you, Taylor, have brown hair?
It's just, you're right.
It's just, it's insane to me. And it's an old school way of thinking, and it has to change. Love is love. That is a fact. It doesn't matter, you know? It should not matter who you want to sleep with.
Yeah.
It doesn't really affect you. It doesn't. Yeah.
You just gave either birth to me or raised me. And I feel like, especially when they do come out and the parents do react like that, I feel like it's more the parents themselves feel their own personal thing. So the reason they stopped talking to you is because they now have their own shame and hatred.
That they
have to deal with. But like just by shutting a person out of your life because you're not understanding isn't a good way to deal with it anyway.
Imagine like if they wouldn't have told their parents that they're gay, then okay, you would have still had that relationship, but then the second that they say it, it's like okay, so now that changes everything. Like if
even
I would
though
have kept
nothing has changed
yeah.
like nothing
it's right really just crazy. Because of the fact of I love the person of the same gender it does not make sense.
It
reminds me of a scene I saw in the character was coming out, and the guy was just like, you know, you're not my daughter or whatever. And the girl, she said, Dad, I am still the daughter that you raised. I did not change.
Yeah, what is that from? I know exactly. Yeah, it's movie or a show.
It's a movie.
It was beautifully. It was perfect.
It was so perfect.
It was perfect. The line was perfect. I'm still the daughter that you raised. Nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed, but now you just know who I love.
Yeah.
it's
really that simple.
It's really, seriously, that simple. I mean, you don't have to live with them.
Right.
Personally, you just got to realize that I'm still the person you raised. I still look the same.
Barlish,
unless I cut it. Yeah. I mean, you know, unless I chop my hair off.
But I'm proud to be on a show like this show
that
unapologetically attacks that issue.
Yes.
and has no problem talking about any of this openly, freely, aww, like no one cares. Like, they don't care about the haters. Screw you.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that about some of these new shows, especially on Freeform, that just don't. Bold Type, have you guys ever watched
it? Yes.
Another amazing show that just does not, that's brave, man.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have to keep that going.
Shout out to Mac727. Oh my gosh, she says, I'm bisexual, and the scene with Alice's parents was so sad since she can't come out.
Right. You yeah. see that?
And Jazzy Jones says, I agree with Michael. Doesn't matter. Love is love. Well, everybody agrees with you now. In the chat, they're just like, I agree.
Good. Thumbs up. The hearts.
Hearts, yeah. Hearts, thumbs up. Everything.
Yeah.
But let's get into some predictions, because we always have them.
Yeah. Things to say.
We have a lot to say.
This music is great.
So, let's kick this off. Alice is going to win the lottery.
Love it. She'll speak it into existence.
I'm here for that. And she's going to buy the coterie.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. There you go.
And, yeah.
That's a great idea. And then maybe she like just has her own like private loft somewhere else.
With toilet paper. Someone has to deliver toilet paper to her.
Yes. Right.
She like, isn't there like a like Task Rabbit or something that like
You can
so
totally.
She can send someone to grab it for her. 100%. Absolutely.
For life.
That's the final scene of the show.
I'd be clapping.
I would clap.
I think everybody would cheer in victory.
Yeah. My real prediction is I think that Joey is gonna come around after Alice really finally comes to her own peace with Sumi getting married. I'm not sure how long that's gonna take, but I'm hoping. I mean, I don't think Joey's just in the show for no reason. I really do feel like at the end of the day, that may be Alice's happiness and her freedom.
Yes. Oh, did you let me read that? My prediction is the scavenger hunt's gonna be lit. There's something going on with Davia and Dennis. There was a whole little push thing in the promo, so I'm just like, either they're now coming closer.
Ooh.
It's the feeling's about to pop off. I'm here for it. And I'm super excited. Brandon is a Uber driver. I don't know why. I'm just really excited about that. So.
Yeah, we'll skip you.
Oh, yeah. Wait, so is my... Oh, I can't.
No,
I'll get
you're
fired.
Good. Yeah.
I agree. Brandon, I'm not going to lie, he wasn't, like, my number one fave in the Fosters, but now that he was in the promo, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, what is up with you? Like, I want to see, like, how is your life going,
major
buddy?
Beard
like,
gang.
What's up? Yes, and he's also married to Eliza now, so, like, how's that going? And it's hilarious, because I just watched Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and it's one of the weird sisters, and I'm like, how's it like being married to her? Like,
interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
And then I'm so, so worried that Callie's going to cause quite a bit of trouble, just because she is thinking about the fact that maybe there's some conflict of interest with Judge Wilson and the police force and him presiding over this Jamal case now, and I don't think that Callie's just gonna sit by and let that be done. Like, I think that she's definitely gonna shake things up, and I am a little bit worried about the fallout.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. As soon as you said that, I was just like, dang, that actually did happen, right? So, because we know Callie and her personality,
something's going to happen.
It's going to be fire.
It's yes. going to be, yeah. It's going to be absolutely. Fire. But before we wrap, I wanted to ask you, do you have any other projects that are upcoming that you want to promote?
I'm recurring on another show called The Haves and the Have-Nots, which airs actually right after Good Trouble.
That's
on the
awesome.
Own network.
So
marathon!
On the same night, yeah. If you want to flip to the own network, I'm on that one on every Tuesday. I have a horror thriller coming out later this year. I've got two commercials running. It's been busy. I'm in the middle of pilot season now, so I've been auditioning like crazy. That's why I almost didn't make it tonight. I had some stuff going on. But
thank you for making it.
Yeah, 100%. I'm trying to land my series regular on a pilot, and hopefully it happens soon.
Well, you're killing it.
I'm grateful for the Lord. Come on. It's, I'm happy where I'm at right now. Let's be serious. Very, very grateful, as always.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to be here. Like, you guys are great.
Thank you.
I've watched you on some of these episodes, and I'm like, wow, these are really good people. And AfterBuzz is, all you guys are great.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was wonderful. You're very welcoming, and you're good at what you do, honestly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I'm going to bring cupcakes to you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I should do.
In the middle of the segment,
only,
I don't care.
Only vanilla. I'm allergic to chocolate.
Okay.
She's right, putting that chocolate. Out there.
Just noted. Just, I don't want to... So, we're good.
Well, where can everyone find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I don't have Snapchat. I'm not really a big Snap dude.
I get it.
Instagram is Michael M. Galante. So, M-I-C. My name with an M and a Galante cool. on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, you find me on there.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you again for joining us. We cannot wait to see what happens with Brian, Gael, Callie. That triangle, something's going to happen. It's going to come crashing down. We can't wait to see what happens.
Next episode is wild.
All right.
It's going to be great.
That's your prediction.
Yeah, that's your prediction. It's wild.
Yeah. Where can everyone find you on social media, Taylor?
Share your predictions with me on Twitter. I'm at alphabet_Ann. On Instagram, at Taylor_Gates_. I also host the One Day at a Time after show every Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Hey guys, you can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Black Mondays at 9 p.m. on Sundays here. And I just launched my YouTube channel, Unapologetically Shay.
Yay.
So the link's on my Instagram. Awesome. Check it out.
Yes, definitely check it out. And you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones. You can also find me at the Shadowhunters After Show, which airs on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So make sure to check that out if you are a part of the Shadow Squad. Thank you so much again for joining us.
You guys are great. Thank you for having me.
We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.